This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The year was 1856. It was a pivotal one for our country. That was the year of the birth of the Republican Party, as we know it. It was also a critical year in the troubled political life of Abraham Lincoln. As a lawyer, that was the year that he tried his most scandalous murder case. And at the same time, he made a decision which unleashed his soaring abilities for the first time. A decision which reverberates to this very day, whether or not he would join that new Republican Party. Author and award-winning historian Julie Fenster joins me on the long line. Her new book is The Case of Abraham Lincoln, A Story of Adultery, Murder, and the Making of a Great President. Julie, how are you?
Good. Merry Christmas, Coy.
Merry Christmas to you. It's good to hear your voice. What a wonderful book. And for listeners, as always, we're giving away a free copy of this book at the end of the interview, so keep listening. Julie, tell me, why Abraham Lincoln? What are you working on when you decide, I'm going to write a book about Abraham Lincoln?
That's a thought one or two authors have had before me, I know. But I felt that his law career wasn't covered in quite the depth that his presidency was, of course. And there's so much that's fascinating about his legal career, such as the fact that he handled many capital cases. You know, a lot of really messy crime came through his door, and he had to try to straighten it out. I think that gave him a great feel for human nature and helped him when he became president. So I kind of wanted to show him set against a backdrop that maybe is a bit scurrilous, but that was part of his life, you know?
Right, right. And we definitely want to talk about the case, which is at the center of your book. But as a preface, why a lawyer? What is it? Why did Abraham Lincoln decide he was going to be a lawyer as opposed to a shopkeeper or a surveyor or whatever?
Well, I'll tell you, in Illinois, in the 1850s, you know, the burgeoning frontier, the lawyers really held all the cards. There wasn't much in the way of an entrepreneurial class or, any of the other power brokers. You know, unions didn't exist yet, and even doctors were mere workmen. You know, they didn't carry the status they have today. It was all about lawyers. So for Abraham Lincoln, it was an easy choice to match his soaring ambition. He always was a very ambitious man with the one profession that could take him anywhere.
Was he a good lawyer?
He was apparently an excellent lawyer. Maybe not in the very tippity-top of his class, you know, of the people who were his colleagues at the time. There were a few who were considered a bit more aggressive or more effective. Maybe because Abraham Lincoln, as ambitious as he was, still liked to choose his cases. He had to believe in his client. And so that may have tempered his, you know, his reputation was as a very honest man, very honest lawyer. We all know that that word is associated with him, and it's no cliche. But he wasn't at his best unless he really believed in his client.
My guest is award-winning author and historian Julie Fenster. The new book is The Case of Abraham Lincoln, A Story of Adultery, Murder, and the Making of a Great President. So, Julie, what is this 1856, a pivotal year for America, the birth of this new Republican Party, and a turning point in the career, the political career, the legal career of this young man from Illinois, Abraham Lincoln? Tell us about this case.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He wasn't so young anymore. He was 47, and he had to make his move. You know, he was at that stage, that difficult age in middle age where you don't have that many more chances for greatness. And he'd kind of, you know, a couple of them had passed him by. So the fact that the Republican Party was forming was a difficult decision for him, presented a difficult decision whether to join it or not. One more mistake, and I think he would have been cast into oblivion forever. He decided to join the party and had a lot to do with its success, but it was a tough gamble for him starting out in obscurity, in, you know, relative obscurity in 1856, and ending up at the head of the party in Illinois. It was really exciting to see him come around, you know. It's almost a, if the book isn't in the history department, it could be in the inspiration department, I guess, for middle-aged people.
My guess is Julie Fenster. What was it about this new Republican Party back in 1856, you think, that attracted Abraham Lincoln?
Well, it offered, you know, a chance to answer the slavery crisis once and for all. But it that party brought together people who, you know, otherwise kind of hated each other. The Democrats were strong then. The other opposition party, the Whigs, had dissolved, and that left a really a melee of feuding factions. And the Republicans tried to bring them together by, you know, trying to draw everyone who was against the expansion of slavery into the West. That was the one issue on which they all agreed. On everything else, they disagreed. And so it was incumbent on someone like Abraham Lincoln to give the party its spirit, its philosophy. And he did that in a very inspiring speech in May of 1856. It was considered his best speech ever.
Really? So I had never heard of this. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's not spoken of today as much because it wasn't written down. But through reminiscences and other accounts, we can reconstruct the speech and see that what he did was, instead of allowing the Southerners to couch the whole argument and accuse the North of breaking up the Union by roiling the South, the slavery issue, Abraham Lincoln answered that and put the South, bless you all in North Carolina, but on the defensive. And he actually, in the speech, he spoke as though he were addressing the South as a person. He said, as Northerners, we will not leave the Union, and you shall not leave the Union. He shouted that in a way that showed his new emotion on this issue.
And this was in 1856 or 57?
Yeah, this was 56, and the people who heard the speech were absolutely electrified by the idea that someone finally had the spirit and the courage to carry through this, you know, horrible slavery crisis. They could see that he was looking long-term, and he was looking out for the interests of the whole nation. And all of that was kind of new. And so Abraham Lincoln brought the argument to such a higher stance than it had been, that it was a electrifying night. I wish I'd been there.
He got out. He got up, stood up, and said what so many people were thinking, and yet no one was saying.
Yeah, well, and he pinpointed exactly what everyone felt in their hearts, just what you say, that what they cared about was the country more than anything. So the Union could not be broken up, and like I say, he had always been known for logical speeches, slightly dry speeches, but now he brought a new passion, and that was the beginning of the Abraham Lincoln that we know.
My guest is author, award-winning author and historian Julie Fenster. The book is The Case of Abraham Lincoln. Takes us back to that year, 1856, the year the modern Republican Party was born, and the year that... what I find so fascinating, Julie, is that in this one year, Abraham Lincoln starts the year in relative obscurity as a relatively well-known regional lawyer, a talented man, and he finishes it as a possible candidate for president, the leader of a new political party.
Yeah, definitely. He was the voice of the West, you know, the voice of Illinois in the party. And it's just a brilliant rise through a lot of hard work, I might add. He gave over 70 speeches on behalf of the party. He wasn't running for anything that year, but boy, he was tireless, our Abe Lincoln, and so they say he was, he never looked better. We sometimes think of him as sort of sallow and a little bit, you know, listless or something. Well, not that summer. He was energized by the opportunity, so he was giving, as I say, something like 70 speeches, and in those days, they didn't know what a soundbite was. A speech was about 3 or 4 hours long.
Right.
So he wasn't just sitting back waiting for the world to come to him.
I love the photograph that is on the cover of your book, this photo of Abraham Lincoln. It's one that we seldom see of him.
Well, he doesn't have a beard, and I think he's quite a handsome man. As they said in this year, 1856, he was extremely handsome because his color was great, his energy was up. And so don't believe it when he himself tells stories about how homely he was or something. Don't believe it.
What do you think made the difference that year in Abraham Lincoln's life? What happened to him such that the man who was, you know, known for sort of giving dry speeches where he rambled and told stories, all of a sudden he's electrifying crowds?
Well, that's a great question. I'd have to say the slavery crisis really was coming to a head. You know, there was practically a mini civil war raging out in Kansas-Nebraska territory. You know, people were dying. So the emotional fervor, I think, gripped him, and he realized that the time was now. His time was now, but the nation's time also was now. And he didn't want to miss the train any more than, you know, any good politician would. But as a patriot, you know, we don't use that word with Lincoln often, but he was deeply patriotic. I think he was really terrified at what he saw happening, and it was starting out in Kansas, and it was the violence was obviously going to take over the country, and he had to rise to greatness, I think.
And what terrified him was this expansion of slavery into the Western territories, and
yes,
that slavery would sort of get a new birth out west.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That it wasn't going to be contained. And, you know, inwardly, Abraham Lincoln believed the nation had to go in one direction or the other. You know, rhetorically, he said, we have to have slavery everywhere or nowhere, and I can tell you which it's going to be. He couldn't make that speech everywhere, because, as I say, it was complicated times, and if he wanted the Republican Party to you know, get past its infancy, he had to be careful how much he said at that early stage. But for the time being, he knew that if slavery was going to be up for vote in the new territories, it was going to divide America, obviously, in the future.
Award-winning author and historian Julie Fenster. Her new book is The Case of Abraham Lincoln, a story of adultery, murder, and the making of a great president. Takes us back to a pivotal year in American history, 1856, when we see the birth of this great leader, this man who would be one of the greatest presidents in our nation's history. Julie, thank you so much for joining me. I've enjoyed it.
What a delight. Thank you so much, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.